Hey, what's going on, y'all? This is CJ from Young Black and Bothered Podcast. This is my bonus episode, which I named Young Black and Bold. And I have a couple very unique guests with me. I have the wonderful Sasha.
Hey, guys.
I have Rochelle. Hello,
Hey.
Richie.
I'm here. Hey guys, Michelle, Richie, whatever you want to call me. I'm actually here on time at the beginning of the episode, so I'm proud of myself.
And I have one of my good men, Mr. Michael Leiter.
What's going on? Light, Mike, Michael, whatever you want to call me, man.
Right, so we're going to jump right into it. This past weekend, we had a very interesting situation. We had the white supremacist rally in DC. Now, me and Michael made attempts to go down there. You know, the rain was kind of it kind of threw our plans off. We wasn't able to get as close as we wanted to, but we definitely stayed within the area. And I must say, it was successful. We didn't have to go down there and do anything because they didn't want to go down there and do anything because it was the anti-protesters. They definitely came down there and shut it down. I kind of knew that was going to happen anyway, because I mean, Charlottesville and DC, two different dynamics. I don't know what they were thinking they was going to be able to pull that off here. So what y'all think? What's y'all opinions on that? Started with Sasha, I guess.
Well, first, I do want to verify some information. As you know, I'm over here on the West Coast, so I wasn't physically there. All I could do was kind of be a spectator via social media outlets. But is it true that there literally were only 60 of them in total that attempted to protest for white rights or whatever the heck they were protesting?
Yeah, I heard it was less. I heard it was like 25.
That is pathetic.
Yeah.
You can't stand behind your racism and come out in numbers. Y'all
I
gonna
mean,
hide your hands with your racism? That doesn't make no sense to me.
the one footage I did see, they was getting off at McPherson Square Station, and they had a little, they definitely had police escorts bringing them up the escalator. And one guy had an American flag, and, you know, he's walking past, and another white guy who was one of the anti-protesters snatched the flag from the dude. You know what I mean? You snatch the flag from him, and the police like rushed him. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? But you know, I was definitely happy to see a lot of people all about unity and not about all this hate. You know what I mean? So it kind of gives me some type of hope for humanity. You know what I mean? Like, okay, maybe we not as far as we think we are. We just gotta stop being stupid. You know what I mean?
I mean, granted, you know, we do live in America where everyone has the right to protest. I think I made a Facebook status about this. I think what we all can take away from it is we get to see the pressure of them feeling that this country is still moving forward with progression. You know,
Yeah.
our grandparents and our great grandparents and even our parents, they had to carry that torch years ago, and now it's our turn. And the
Exactly.
fact that it's our turn and you get people that show up at 25, 60 heads, and then they get chased out by a united group of people of all from all walks of life. I think that's
Exactly.
a great thing to see.
Exactly. What you think, Richie?
I mean, that's beautiful, that aspect of it. But honestly, like, 60 people showing up, there's more of y'all hiding because he won the election. You know, Donald Trump won, and those white nationalist ideas won the election. It was 53% of white women. That was like 80% of white men. They're somewhere. They might not be marching on the wall, but they're somewhere. And I would prefer for them to show themselves and be front and present and hide in their and stand in their racism than to hide behind it in this way. This is
Exactly.
insulting. It pisses me off. That's not how their hate and racism is set up. They're cowards. They're cowards. So the majority of them are not going to be ballsy enough to show their face. And even when they get caught on camera and they go viral from doing stupid stuff at a freaking Starbucks or something, they're still some, you know, somewhat embarrassed by that. So it's still taboo for them to be affiliated with the KKK, because again, that was in a way affiliation of the KKK,
People will run and scurry into a corner if you say those three letters. Now,
because they're more offended by being called racist than actually, you know, perpetuating racism. Like, what the fuck?
They still tie racism to, is the point. They still tie racism only to slavery and to the KKK. They don't tie their New Age racism into anything else.
And I mean, New Age or not, it's still racism. It's still, from a place of, I hate you, monkey-ass niggas. So, like, stand in that. Be proud of that and tell me. Don't throw a stone in high your hands. I want to see what the fuck you mean. I don't want to hear that shit.
We know that. They just won't ever cop to that. We know that they're not going to cop to that, because that's always going to be their defense. When you talk about Black Lives Matter, you talk about black men getting shot on the streets, they're always going to, and you call them out on their bigotry and their racism through their semantics, they're always going to revert back to, I'm not racist. They're going to revert back to something that can easily tie racism to them. But as if it's nothing to do with the KKK or slavery, something that they can say, oh, that was so long ago, get over that. We're not racist. We had a black president. There's always going to be an excuse. Now, we know the truth, but there's always...
So maybe we need to start telling them, yes, you are racist. I'm sorry. Yes, Susan. You expecting everyone to move out the way because you're white and you're here is racist, you bitch. We need to start doing that. That maybe needs to be what happens. Because if you think that the only way to be racist is the KKK and slavery, I got another fucking thing for you. It's ingrained. It's everywhere. And I've experienced it in 2018. And I've experienced it my lifetime. I was like born in 1985. So, I mean, that's a thing. And to act like it's not is just ridiculous. And for it to be more offensive to be called racist than actually being racist just makes me want to strangle everybody.
We'll get into the one black guy that's there. They're posting all over social media. This Jason Kessler dude, who was a huge proponent of the Unite the Right march that just happened. He is marching right there alongside them. And I feel like that also adds to why they feel like, oh, well, okay. They can politicize it in a way. They can turn it into politics, which I feel like they attempted to do with this. So if they try and throw the stone, like you said, they hide their hands behind politics. And when you have a Jason Kessler that's standing alongside them, they're definitely not racist in that aspect. They all just believe in the same ideals of making America the greatest country on earth again. And, oh, look, we have a black man standing beside us. So it's far from, we can't be racist at all. We can't. We can't.
See, that's why I'm glad.
It's time to call a spade a spade. That's bullshit. I'm sorry. You having one token black person doesn't make you not racist. Okay? You having one black man up there who is a victim of white supremacy, who has been brainwashed by you motherfuckers, does not make you not racist. I'm sorry.
That's terrible. I had no idea that it was anybody black doing anything.
Oh, no, he's on there. Little black skinny dude with the glasses and his little dragon one under his little baseball cap.
But see, like, I'm not mad at him because I still feel like he's a victim of white supremacy. I mean, what I'm going to go against is against the establishment that's trying to use him as a token. They know exactly what the fuck they're doing.
He has a do-rag on. That is silly. Oh my
God.
Hey, why are they playing with us? Like, that is like, they just really playing with us. Like, he got a do-rag on the cap.
Yeah, he does.
Hey Mike.
Yeah.
What you think about it, man?
Man, just to talk about the experience of the people that wasn't down there for what we've seen, you know, we've seen all types of people, you know, gays and every amount, all type of minorities, old and young people. We've seen all types of walks of life down there celebrating. It was more of a celebration, it seemed like to me. You know what I'm saying? It was all love. It was,
That's how I felt.
Partying and they was rocking, they was dancing, you know what I'm saying? We wasn't down there like we wanted to be down there, but from what we've seen, I ain't see no people from, you know, I ain't see no, you know, white supremacists or nothing like that. That was blatantly obvious, you know, down there doing nothing all, you know, big and wild, but it was more of a celebration, man. And it wasn't just black people, it was all type of people. Y'all talking about pretty much covert racism right now. You know what kind of struck me today, and I put this on my Facebook. I kind of woke up with this in my brain. I'm like, you know what? A lot of people, you know, actually didn't speak on this rally in terms of, like, you know, speaking out against it. Mm-hmm. But I noticed there's a lot of these people that didn't speak against it that had a lot to say about the way we protest with the, you know, against the flag, with the NFL flag and how we doing it. I'm like, and I'm sitting there thinking of all the, I mean, coworkers, peers, you know, especially white people, that got everything to say about what Colin Kaepernick did. But when they talking about doing this rally, I'm not seeing them talk about nothing. They're not saying nothing.
So, I mean, yeah, but that's, I mean, been, I'm the
MO. Sideways too.
That's been the MO. That's been how white America does things. That's exactly how it's been. They always
and
do that shit.
I got a big issue with that. I got a big issue with that. You know what I'm saying? So we can't protest silently and peacefully, not harming nobody, but it's cool for them to walk through our streets, which we know is antagonizing because it's a lot of black people. It's a liberal city. That it's just crazy to me how they not saying nothing about it.
Because it's never about the protest. It's not about the method of protest. I mean, we have to know that at this point, because there was nothing. I mean, Colin Kaepernick was basically a perfect protest. It's everything that white people have asked for, and they were pissed. I mean, really pissed. So it's not about the type of protesting. It's who's protesting.
Well, it's also about the interest of the establishment, of the institution. You have to understand, when someone that's black or brown, or even white, that's standing next to black or brown, that's protesting against the institution, that's the problem. When it's someone protesting for the institution, which is what they were doing, it's not a problem. And again, it goes back to, they lack that accountability. They will never be accountable for their past. They will never be accountable for where their past of land grabbing and murder and genocide has gotten them to today, and how it still affects people, and the reason why we protest against it. They're not going to be accountable for that at all. Because again, they are protecting the institution that privileges them and their lives and their well-beings. Why on earth would they go against something that benefits them? They don't give a damn that people die in the process of this.
Yeah.
They see us protesting about it, and we're exercising our rights as Americans and as human beings, but that doesn't matter to them, because it's not about, like you said, it's not about the protest. It's about who's doing it and what they're doing it for. So when you're against the institution, it's a problem. When you're for the institution, people are going to, what are they going to say? They're not going to say anything about it.
But we can't allow the institution to keep acting like they're not racist when you are supporting racism and you are supporting bigotry. I mean, we got to start calling spades spades. Like, you know, when instead of white nationalists, alt-right, these are white supremacists. And that's what you're supporting. And they're supporting this administration. So let's reconcile that. Let's talk about that. Like, I'm tired of talking about how we protest and all that. Let's just call a spade a spade. You motherfuckers is racist, period.
And I think, you know, one of the main reasons for the reaction that we seen, like Mike said, when everybody was all over, because these motherfuckers hate everybody. So, of course, if we all have a common enemy, I feel like we're going to unite off that, right? Like they all hate, they hate gays, they hate Mexicans, they hate all kinds of shit. Like, so it's just, I don't know. So I want to kind of, I don't want to stay on that topic too much, because we already know what it is, what it is. Now, I'm going to bring my man Mike. Mike, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
So right now, you know, the next topic is, I wanted to bring to, at least to the attention of people, of our listeners, is the misrepresentation and the miseducation of Mr. Tupac Shakur. Remember how we talked about how the white Jewish media kind of got him portrayed as a, as pretty much they got him portrayed as
that Sasha fell for.
Yeah. My whole thing is, Tupac had did it. He went a different route about how he wanted to get his message across, because he knew he couldn't come across like Malcolm X or Martin Luther King to try to get what he wanted done.
Or Farrakhan. Young people don't follow a Farrakhan because they can't relate to him.
Can't relate to Farrakhan. So he took on, I will say, an image. He definitely put on an image. He took on an image of a thug, a rowdy, a young black man in America who grew up in poverty, which he actually did. So it's not like he was faking it. He didn't grow up in the suburbs, you know what I mean? His mother was on crack. Typical broken household things that a lot of young black men went through, you know what I mean? But he was not what we think. Like, we celebrate the problematic Tupac, and I don't like that. That's what everybody thinks of Tupac when you first think of Tupac. Nobody thinks of...
But was he not?
Well, I mean, he was 24.
I think that's what people forget. He was really young. Like, very young. He died at, 24, 25 years old?
Yeah, so when 25.
He was spitting all that knowledge, he was 19, 20, 21, 22 years old. Like, he was a child. So I don't know if he was so much problematic as he was a young man. And young men are filled with, vitriol and, they're excited.
I don't see what the problems were. What's problematic, Pac?
Pac said, Pac allowed that girl to get raped. That happened. That was a thing. he was pretty misogynistic about women sometimes. He was kind of problematic about that thug life stuff. He didn't explain some of that properly. He kind of gives me a little Kanye with that. Like,
no, he actually was explained like, it perfectly.
Bullshit right there.
Yeah, they explained it perfectly. They flipped it on him.
I'm not saying that that didn't happen. I am saying that when you're trying to like explain a radical view like that, like you need to protect it. And he didn't do that because he was a young man. I'm not saying he was at fault. I'm not saying that the thug life was wrong. I'm just saying there were some problematic things in the ways that he explained things and the way that he conducted himself. And that just comes from inexperience, I believe, more so than him being a problematic
person.
That's
a good point. That's a good point. But he also experienced a lot during that era, right? So he had people trying to kill him. He got shot 5 times. He had a rape charge all at the same time. He was already dealing with a prior case before that. You know what I'm saying? So he was dealing with a lot. So yeah, that's the culmination of everything that happened. And you're right, he didn't protect it, but it made him look like, oh, your thug life isn't the hurt you give little if it's fuck everyone. Thug life is you getting shot and you raping women. So all these things happened at this one time where it did make him look like what a typical thug would be. But he's talked about in his interviews, he's talked about in his music, it's never been thug life was tied to gang violence or nothing. It was actually just to connect with the younger audience, because you got to remember what the early 90s and the mid 90s was about. It was about that type of thing. So he said, I want to connect with the younger folk and get them and flip it. It was almost like flipping the N-word. He talked about that too, or flipping the B-word. It was the same type of thing. Let me take this thug life and let me flip it to something positive. You know what I'm saying? But I will give you that point. It wasn't protected all that well. But I like that point versus like, oh, he was just being a follower. Oh, he wasn't really, no, he wasn't trying to be a thug or whatever, because what thug meant to him was something different. It was about being rebellious. It's about military mindset. It was about Black Panther. It was about liberation. It was about equality. It's about all those things, rights for all human beings.
And he was doing this at a time. He was doing this at a time it wasn't popular to do this. This is not the time to do this either.
And granted, I truly appreciate that he connected with his roots of, the Black Panther Nation. However, as far I get that he's a very popular figure to all of us. However, I find it problematic in general when we were just talking about accountability on the other side of the coin. And I think we as Black people need to flip that coin sometimes and learn how to take accountability for us as well. And yes, his artistry, his genius was just beautiful. How he talked about his past and how he connected with us through what was going on in those times was amazing. However, he still, 24, young or not, was a grown-ass man and made decisions that were not at all positive for himself or his image, period.
But he was still 24.
To gangbanging or being a part of that life?
I don't know that. I don't like holding young people accountable in that way. I mean,
24. He was 24.
Even still, I mean, if we would have popped Malcolm X at 24, we wouldn't have had Malcolm X. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta allow people to grow. It's something like your brain isn't completely developed until you're 28 anyway. Like, people really aren't developed fully until they are 20 motherfucking eight. And that's a lot of their impulse control and everything. So I'm sorry, I gotta push back on that. Like, yes, he was an adult. I will give you that. Yes, he needs to be held accountable for his actions. We'll also give you that. But there's a difference in the way that 24-year-olds conduct themselves than a 40-year-old.
I don't understand that either.
No, I'm not comparing him to Malcolm X in that way. I'm comparing him in the way that if we would have killed Malcolm X, or if we would have wrote off Malcolm X at 24, we wouldn't have had Malcolm X.
But nobody wrote Tupac off. I'm not writing him off. I'm saying he should be accountable, just like Malcolm X had to be accountable for his behaviors before he found the nation and himself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not cutting him off or writing him off in any way. I think he's very important to our culture. However, that still does not negate that there does need to be some accountability for the choices he made as an adult. He did choose to get it.
But as a young black man, though, that a lot of that taught, like, what he went through, his shortfalls and how he handled situations, and seeing the outcome actually taught me and people that understand, like CJ, we talk a lot about him. It taught us how to maneuver. He actually talked against, like, the last moments of his life, he actually talked against that. You know what I'm saying? And then we saw him as a young, frustrated black man for a million different reasons. We can talk about that another day, how he ended up getting caught up in that moment and he didn't get another chance. You know what I'm saying? Like, he couldn't pull through from that chance. And I learned a lot just from his death in itself.
I have a quick question, and it ties into this, because I want to make sure we're not being contradicting ourselves here.
Okay.
So let's go back. So say if a young white dude who grew up, because again, race, you're not born racist. That shit is taught to you. So let's say you got a young white man who was raised in the Klan, or he was raised in a very racist upbringing. That was his environment. And he's some young little punk going around, but Mark Wahlberg. Let's use Mark Wahlberg.
That's my man. Forget
it. He's your man, right? But he was people in their heads up in Boston because he was a racist little punk, because that's what he was grown up to do. That's what he was taught, you know? So how do we not hold Tupac accountable without writing him off? How do we not hold him accountable and make excuses for that? But if it's a Mark Wahlberg or a young white kid who grew up with that type of upbringing and he tried to change his life and was cut down quickly, we would make him a villain. You get what I'm saying?
Well, because
I'm not defending racism. I'm just saying, like, I just want to make sure we don't contradict ourselves, especially when we are in a position to where we want that freedom of people seeing us differently from what we were, based off of, you know, the environment we came from and what we tried to become. We don't all want to be seen as thugs. You get upset if somebody of another color calls you a thug, but then you give an excuse as to why this thug life was glorified.
I wouldn't say we wouldn't hold him accountable, but I don't think he would have to explain anything, because everything would be explained for him, because he has white power on his side. So Tupac not having that on his side, I felt like what he was doing was trying to connect to the people he needed to connect to. But at the same time, you know, the white media will flip exactly what he's trying to do. Oh, this positive shit, we're not going to put this. We're not going to push what he's trying to say. Oh, hit him up. Oh, hell yeah. Let's hit him up with number one. That's what Hail Murray out there. Or let's put any other Tupac song we glorify besides Dear Mama and like, you know what I mean? Like I was saying earlier, okay, I ain't mad at you. Let's throw all the other ones out there to get to portray this to what we want. Y'all look at Tupac as. Yeah, he's your little gangbang king. You know what I mean?
So I think my whole point, and it applies to Mark Wahlberg, it applies to young racists, it applies to young Tupac. I mean, young people, young men, young women, they're underdeveloped. And just like we give children and teens a little bit of leeway, I just think there's something to be said at 24 and 25, lacking impulse control, leaning into what you were taught as opposed to having discovered yourself. That happens at that time, and it happens for most of us. And all of us, it might not manifest in that way, but it happens in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I want to reiterate the fact that your definition of thug life and his definition of thug life is two totally different things. That's what y'all are missing. He's not going to
find
Thug Life.
I am not saying that. I'm not.
But you said he should be held accountable for the Thug Life culture. But
no,
the Thug Life culture
actually
was something totally different than what we know it to be today.
Glorifying it.
I didn't say that. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. So he, there's nothing for him to be. I don't know where we're not holding him accountable. So, like, I'm trying to find out where we're not holding him accountable. What excuses are we making?
Excuses of him being young and dumb.
Oh man, we know that though.
But I think he was young. And, I mean, I think there's something to be said for that. I mean,
he ain't really become young and dumb until he got shot.
Like that.
He ain't become young and dumb until he got shot.
Some people are trying to find themselves, establish themselves. Like, that's always happening.
No, he was moving he was moving how he's supposed to move until he got shot. Thing was, how can my own people kill me? Let me try to kill me.
Even
that's his whole thing.
In Atlanta, when the cops beat him down for jaywalking. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? He went through all types of stuff that you saw change him. You know what I'm saying? And you could see it. If you follow his timeline for, like, the events that happened in his life, whether dealing with women, his mom, or whatever, he wrote the songs about him. So, yeah, you're right. Misogynistic. Yeah, fuck bitches. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, guess what? He just caught a rape charge. And the girl was lying about a lot of the shit. So, yeah, he was on some fuck these bitches type shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, yeah, as he went through things, he laid that shit down in his music, like the day of or the next day. That's why he has 500 songs out there in a total of 3 or 4 year career span altogether. When you deduct the time he was in prison and stuff, his career wasn't that long. So every time he went
never
through
got to
something,
do a tour.
And I follow.
Yeah,
that again.
He never got to do a tour. Yeah.
That's how young he was in his career. That's crazy.
He was a death row for 6 months. And
he was there for 6 months.
That's
his whole career to be
off death row. Off the death row shit. And it's like that's the guy that these little misinformed rappers try to be, the death row Tupac. I'm like, why? That nigga was dead for 6 months. Like, what about the other
that's
Tupac?
When he was definitely angry. Nobody would bail him out of jail. Suge bailed him out of jail, so now he gets sucked into the gang culture. He was being loyal to the nigga that bailed him out of jail. So he did what I would want anybody to do is rock for me. You know what I'm saying? If you're my little brother, so-called little brother, if I'm into some shit, I'm going to want you to rock for me. Yeah, he did. He put his neck out there for the nigga that got him out of jail, which I don't see why that would be an issue. And he ended up getting killed for it. You know what I'm saying?
That part sucked. And the whole turn of him to play against Biggie sucked because he let Suge do that to him. I didn't like that either. That was fucked up. But, yeah. That whole thing was just Suge Knight's fault. At the end of the day. So.
But I wouldn't even say that because, you know, Pac didn't really, it wasn't Suge really drop. Suge was instigating it. But Tupac was upset directly at Big and Puffy because there's so many different people in this whole thing. I'm not going to drop names, but there was another guy that Tupac was best friends with who was also from New York. And he was linked to the whole murder, right? And he found out that his best friend knew Biggie and knew the whole, you know, the niggas that was in cahoots with Haitian Jack, who ended up getting him shot. Yeah, and he was like, "Why? Like, what's going on? Like, y'all niggas, it was a setup." It turned out it's a fact that he got set up, and it's a fact that it was linked to Diddy and Biggie. Not that they did it. But there was another friend in the whole mix, right? So now he like, because Biggie, people don't notice Biggie, and he's admitted it. Biggie had hit Pac up. I was like, I want to tell you about your man. And Pac was like, all right, what's up? He's like, I'm going to call you later. Big never made that phone call back. So after Pac got shot, he like, everybody got to remember, he was cool with Biggie. Biggie was his man too at the time. How come you, my man, knew something was going to go down, you didn't tell me? So yeah, fuck you. You got me shot, robbed, and almost killed. I'm not fucking with you. I don't know about y'all, but I'm gonna be the same nigga. If you had some information to tell me about a setup and you didn't fucking tell me, somehow you gotta call me back and you never call me back, and then I get set up that fucking same night, I'm not fucking with you, and fuck you. You know what I'm saying? Now, how he went about it, you know, with Suge instigating the whole thing and this and that and the third, Yeah, that was all fucked up. You know what I'm saying? But
it was an Ottawa thing. Biggie was the biggest rapper on the East Coast at the time. So he was like, I'm gonna fuck that. Oh, nigga, y'all niggas knew about the whole thing. Oh, you think y'all gonna get big while I get locked up? Fuck y'all, I'm gonna cuss y'all. That was his whole thing. I kind of understood it, but I don't know. I would have went a different way with it. No, I don't know.
But people don't realize a couple months before he passed away, he talked about uniting the East and West. You know, he had Death Row East that he was forming. He had a production company that he was forming that he wanted the East and West Coast to come together. All that shit was dying out. Like, he had a plan. The plan is out there. Like, he talked about the plan, but he said, I'm going, like, they did me wrong and they shot me, so they got to pay. You know what I'm saying? But he had a bigger plan to bring everybody back together. There's an album that he put together that joined the East, and I forgot what that joint was called, something Nations or whatever, where he brought everybody together, niggas from Jersey, niggas from New York, niggas from the West Coast, and they made an album together. So he was putting that together. His life just ended short. It ended short before he could actually put these things together, you know, okay. But, you know.
So, yeah, on that, though, to transition from that. So that's what do we think, right, as black entertainers today? Do they have, would you say they have a responsibility to hold as far as like representation with us? Like, do they have a responsibility of giving back? Do you feel like they are, is their job to do that?
I don't.
I feel like with anybody in a public office of any sort, whether it's political or entertainment, it does come with the territory, unfortunately. Now, do I feel like they need to, carry a torch for us all the time? No. I really think that it was super unfair how people really, like how some black people felt like Obama owed them something when he was a president. And I get it. We're all seeking that representation, you know, and that's fair. But it's a gray area. I feel like when you become a person of public office, it comes with the territory. Are you obligated to do it? No, but do I think it's in your best interest to do it? Yes. And I don't think you should be obligated, but I think it comes with the territory. And if you care about your interests or your career or your image, then I think it's something that should be, you know, pretty top of your agenda.
Yeah. What you think, Mike?
No, I'm actually real big on this. I think that, you know, it's not like you become a star overnight necessarily. You're raised as a black person. And if you're in the public eye, I was always kind of raised, like my mom always was like, I want you to be the first black president or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But, and my mom always taught me that if I became a figure or somebody of power, then I absolutely do hold the obligation to carry the torch for black people. I firmly believe we have to, with privilege, they don't have to do that. Black people have to, in my opinion. If I ever come across some power or some money, I'm going all the way with it. I think it's my obligation. I think it was my obligation to go out there yesterday for the rally. It's my obligation to do certain things that other normal people don't have to do as a young black man. It is my obligation to do certain things. But yeah, I'm real big on that. That's why I get so mad at some of these so-called celebrities we talk about, like, I've talked about 50 Cent and how he going on black people all the time and he don't challenge white people on shit. Yeah, I get mad about shit like that because, nigga, you are a person of power and people listen to you. You got a lot of money and you don't do shit but dog black people all the fucking time. Yeah, I do have a problem with that. So, yeah, I can go through 1,000 examples like that. But, yeah, I do believe in that. I think we hold some accountability and some obligations once we're in power.
Richie, you have a difference of opinion, I understand.
Yeah, I just don't think that. I think that pressure is just a lot.
I agree.
It's too much. It's not fair, and you can give back without the attention, without having to speak out.
That's so, what I do mean, agree with.
I think people need to be allowed to give back how they feel the need to give back, and that's their business. And they're not obligated to explain that to anybody. They're not obligated to speak out against anyone. I think it's a great bonus. I personally also believe that I would want to give back, but I don't think that I would necessarily want to have to always speak out after everything happened. I don't want that amount of pressure on myself, and I don't think it's fair to put that amount of pressure on another human being. Like, I'm appreciative of my platform. I'm appreciative of of the opportunity, and that's great. But I should be allowed to do what I feel is best in the way right. that I feel the need to express it.
And I also think that it's unfair to assume that every Black person has to have the same interest as the next Black person. I don't think that's fair. I really don't, because mm-hmm. what your interest may be concerning Black people is subjective. Mm-hmm. Not everyone may agree to that or attest to that. Or, you know, there are Black people that grew up economically different from you who don't have the same trials that you do at face value. Mm-hmm. When I'm at face value. So, yeah. I
when I was saying they held the obligation, I wasn't necessarily talking about speaking out against certain things, though. I don't – it's just at least not making us look silly. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all I need you to do. If you're a Black person who's well off and you're a celebrity, all you like, if you're just going to at least just be quiet and not make us look dumb, I'm cool with that. Everybody got their place. Everybody got their role.
Who exactly?
Say that again?
Make us look dumb to who exactly? I never understand that statement.
To everyone. So take like a Mayweather, somebody I idolized growing up. When it started becoming prevalent that this nigga is beating on Black women, and he's supporting Trump, I don't fuck with him now. Like, you at least have an obligation to not put your hands on Black women, especially because you're in a public guy. And I can't, like, how are all these little young Black kids looking up to you and you supporting this man, you supporting Trump or defending Trump? So yeah, it's like, just don't make us look silly,
bro. Like, he's a human being.
Right.
How are you supposed to be infallible? And like, I'm not excusing that. He needs to go to jail. That man is trash. You should feel the way you feel about him. You should not support him. And he doesn't deserve my support simply because he's a Black man. Like, are we or are we not a monolith? Like, are we all coming from the same perspective or not? And we know the answer to that. And we always fight back against that. We're not a monolith. Just because all skin folk and kin folk, like, just because that nigga is a nigga is not my nigga. Yeah. I'm sorry. And I don't feel like that's fair to give me that obligation. And I don't think it's fair for him to have some superhuman strength and not be a shitty person that he is. He's a human being at the end of the day.
I put that out there to set this up, because this is the problem I've been having. Well, I've been seeing, I've just been like, well, why is this happening? So we know LeBron James has just opened up his new school. And like I said, I've never seen anything negative. I always be on Facebook, on social media outlets, you know, with the whole Jordan, LeBron, Kobe debate. You know, I'm Team Jordan as far as from on the court and playing basketball, whatever. And I always say, I always wish my parents said, I definitely respect and like LeBron off the court, because he does a lot for the community. I always said that. And him doing this thing what he just did with the school and all the perks that come with the school, I'm like, this man is really, really, really changing and making, he's making a difference. He's really making a change. Now, with that said, LeBron does that. All I see now on my timeline are just people I talk to. Now we got to tear down Michael Jordan. Now we got to tear down Kobe. Why are we, I'm like, what the hell? Where does this come from? Now, what are we doing? why can't we celebrate all three of these guys? You know what I mean?
Now I don't understand that mentality or that mindset. Like, there's more lanes for all of us. Like, there's enough room for all of us. And I'm sick of this narrative that there can only be one, and that, you know, there's gotta be this king of the hill. Like, what LeBron did is great, and that's great in his way. And what Kobe has contributed to the game of basketball is great in his way. Like, it doesn't need to be compared because they're both Black. Like, that's not fun.
Yeah. Sasha, you got anything to say?
I don't know. Do you think it's more of a Black thing than people stick writing their favorite?
Yeah. Show? I was getting to that. That's the next topic. Because it's like, okay, so like you said, LeBron does this. Now we tell you about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan did nothing for the community. He got on his shoes. But Michael Jordan made the culture of basketball. For real, for real. Like, the whole culture side of basketball. Like, you owe that to Michael Jordan. The tennis shoe deals, the tennis shoes, the endorsements, I want to be like Mike, the McDonald's. All that came with Mike. Like, all that came with Mike. Michael Jordan probably inspired LeBron James to play basketball. Kobe inspired guys in the league now to play basketball. So why would we tear them down, you know what I'm saying, for not doing what LeBron did? LeBron a different type of guy, you know what I'm saying? Kobe different. They all grew up from different, they all grew up differently. They all black, but they all grew up differently. I think y'all just said that. You know what I'm saying? Y'all pretty much made that point. Like, they all black men, they all grew up differently, probably had different backgrounds, different homes. There's no need for us to tear down one guy because another guy did something great. You know what I mean? Or did something that was like, okay, that's, it's noble. He was real noble of LeBron James for what he did. You know, so now we're going to tear down Mike because Mike never did that. So what? Mike did anything else. You wouldn't even be watching basketball if it wasn't for Michael Jordan. like that's my, I don't know, that's my whole thing. So that's why I think
colonization did a number on us. I'll just
it's like the black division in the black community is like, it's, I don't even know how to, it's like a puzzle. Like, I don't even know how to fix it. Like, that's what I'm trying to think of. Like, can you fix it? Is there a solution to this? Do y'all think so?
It's gonna be a long time coming. It starts with the mentality first, and you have a lot of people who are still chained mentally. Their bodies are free, but their mental is still chained, and it's been a learned practice through generations. And unfortunately, it's not necessarily our fault. I'm not even gonna say necessarily. It isn't our fault. It's not our fault. You know, I mean, if you know your history, you understand why we are where we currently are. There could be a solution to it. It's just, we may not see it within our generation or time, but it's going to be a slow unhinging of the minds within our community, within any community of color, within our own community of color, within brown communities of color. And then once we figure that out with ourselves, we all got to come together as people of color, because we can't even do that with each other as people of color. But the difference with us as Black Americans, and I think we're the ones that struggle with this the most, is we never were allowed to have that sense of community. That was stripped away from us the moment they put us on those boats and brought us over here. Mm-hmm. We were not allowed to come together in communion. You could mm-hmm. die for that. Mm-hmm. And that continued through mm-hmm. history.
It continues to this day. A large group of Black people's a gang. It's a problem. It's a riot.
Yeah. When we try to get together and protest, yeah, like you said, it's a riot. It's a gang. And then you have some Black people who really still feed into that mentality. So mm-hmm. it's definitely a chained mental state. It is people who are still enslaved to white supremacy and white supremacist thought. They're still chained to that institution where they're told that your Blackness is bad. You come together and you celebrate your Blackness with other people. It's an uprising. It's bad. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're not a Christian? That's bad. Oh, you believe in praying to the ancestors? That's witchcraft. That's sorcery. You, some of these Black folks down south who are hugely Christian and religious, Lord, it's that chained supremacist mentality that they still hold on to. It's a sickness, just like racism. It's all a sickness, and we are all infected by it. And I don't think we're going to see, unfortunately, and I like to be optimistic, but I'm also pragmatic. I don't feel like we are going to, it wasn't that long ago. Our parents were born in the 50s and 60s. Our grandparents, like our great grandparents were born when slavery was still legal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going anywhere anytime soon. It's generational. It's generational. It's not going anywhere. We got to, It's a lot of us that are working hard to reverse it and not allow that cycle to continue, but mm-hmm. it's a lot of us, and we just got to keep challenging each other, you know? So that's why I appreciate that we did have that conversation about Tupac and we were pushing back on each other, but that's the reason why I brought up that question about why is it okay to glorify that thug life if it's coming from us or if it's somebody that's popular. You know, we have to push back on each other with that too. And mm-hmm. I think that is definitely a first step for us to kind of break that cycle that was kind of taught to us.
Mm-hmm. Mike, what about you? Mike, what do you think?
I ain't gonna lie. Y'all hit that. I couldn't have said it better.
Yeah.
I couldn't. I agree with everything that was just said. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, y'all feel like us being millennials, you think it's like at least our duty to try to get that narrative, to try to flip that whole thing? Like, can we try to, like, you know what I'm saying, like, push it, like, hey, y'all, this whole, you know, hating on each other shit ain't cool. Let's chill on that, you know what I mean? Like, what you think?
I ain't gonna lie, I think it's so infectious and so bad at this point. I really, unfortunately, I don't have a lot of faith that we can turn that around. Like y'all said, it might take a long, long time, but our mentality on all that stuff, being divided and going back to the Kobe LeBron thing, while we just can't just celebrate all of them at one time, and it ain't gotta be Jay or Nas, you know what I'm saying? Why not both, man? You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, it's a
Rihanna, Beyonce.
Rihanna, Beyonce, like, the new thing now I've been seeing is the Beyonce fans hating on Aaliyah, like,
yeah, like, what the hell is that about? Like, why like, she's like, what is this about? Like, yeah, where did Leah come from?
It's like Rock. I haven't seen that. What is that about?
Yeah, oh,
I don't know. I feel like there's been progress being made. I feel like there's a renaissance of, like, Black love. There's a renaissance of us getting in touch with our ancestors and getting back to our roots and getting back to, like, being spiritual and spirituality. Like, those are things that are talked about in circles in a way that I don't believe was talked about in our parents' circles when they were coming of age and when they were our age. So I feel like there is some progress being made. Are we there yet? Absolutely not. Like you said, like, we've made the point, it was hundreds of years and there's still a lot of servitude happening. There's still a lot of enslavement that's happening. So, like, of course, we're not going to be to the promised land right now, but I do see that there's progress being made, and I just want to acknowledge that. And I feel like we should acknowledge that, and we would be remiss if we do not acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely agree with you. Absolutely. I hope that it grows. It becomes more infectious than it does. And like you said, like, even with, like, natural hair movements and stuff like that, but then it goes positive, and then it turns into another pitting women against each other. Like, oh, so now natural hair is beautiful. We're celebrating our Blackness. Oh, you must hate yourself because you still wear weave. So that positive, unfortunately, finds some way to become warped, and we're pitted against one another again. So I like the rhetoric. I love that the narrative has changed to Black beauty and things like that, but what good is a narrative if mentally and deep down we still don't fully believe it?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to crawl before you walk, though. Like, as long as we're continuously moving forward, I think, you know, it's good we're having these conversations. I believe we're probably one of the most emotionally aware and mentally aware generation. And I think that is going to pay dividends. Like, we're going to be raising emotionally aware children, mentally aware children. We're having these conversations within, you know, a generation. So, I mean, are we there yet? Absolutely not. Like, I'm not naive to that fact. Like, I agree with y'all a lot. There is still a lot of negativity, you know, that's happening. But, like, I think that's understandable given our history.
Yeah.
So, you know, all you can do is look forward and keep moving forward and celebrate the wins and keep trying to, you know, focus on the positive and recreate the positive over and over and over again. You know, like, have the conversations, like, these dialogues that we're having, and have them with your peers and, you know, talk about it.
One of the main things I was trying to do when I was coaching, and I got to get back to it. But one of the main things I was trying to do, because a lot of them little kids, you know, I always wanted to coach in, you know, urban neighborhoods, or the hood, if you want to say. I don't want to talk about it. I always wanted to coach in the hood. So, and I always get the 11 and 12-year-olds, because I know that's, like, a very important age. That's when you really start to know what you like. You know what I mean? I always try to get them, because a lot of those little kids ain't had father figures. And a lot of little kids actually were forced to grow up too early, if you know what I mean. Like, I know I had a kid on my team who his uncle had him picking up drugs for him, you know what I mean? And I felt good that I was able to talk to and reach out to these little dudes and show them a positive role model and try to change that whole thing. Like I was just telling y'all, we were just talking about, like, I got a lot of them that's in high school. They still reach out to me. They in high school now. They doing good. You know what I mean? They always talk. They call me. Still got my number. They called me in Harlem. I got to go see a couple of their high school games this year, actually. It's like, I got a lot of little dudes like that. That makes me feel better than anything. You know, because that's like the greatest feeling I had when I got kids that had, you know, a messed up start or whatever. I had kids like that calling me, letting me know, man, you got to come see me, coach. What's up, coach? Coach CJ, you got to come holler at me. You know, like, and I'm like, damn, I got to get more involved in that. You know what I mean? That's just, I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. It's cool. So, ladies, one of the reasons I got both of you all on the show, because I'm not that educated on this topic, right? So, I seen somebody say, I was on my timeline one day on Facebook, I seen somebody say, black women should not be feminists. I have no opinion on this. I want y'all opinion fully. I don't have any opinion on this. I don't know what's going on with this situation or any education. I'm here to be educated by y'all. So, is that an ignorant statement to say or what?
I'm gonna let her go first because I have a very strong opinion on this.
She do too.
I would say that it's ignorant only because it's dictating what a woman should believe in. Mm-hmm. Do I agree that feminism is, there's a space in feminism for black women? No. Do I believe that there has ever been space for black women in feminism? No, because feminism was not created in our interest or for us. I still don't believe it's in our interest or for us. But, you know, who am I to beat down another woman who strongly believes in its message of unity and uplifting one another? I mean, we as women need to uplift one another more anyway. So, I mean, I'm not going to say, no, you're black, you should never be a feminist. Whether I personally agree with feminism for black women or feminism in general, but I do think it's an ignorant statement to dictate what a woman should or shouldn't believe in that she feels, you know, uplifts her and uplifts her in unity with other fellow women.
Uh-huh. Okay. Rochelle, do we have you?
Yes, I do believe it is an ignorant statement. Because I feel like when people are trying to say that I must separate myself from my womanhood or separate myself from my blackness and demanding that of me, that they're trying to control me and they're trying to control my narrative and they're trying to control who I am, because I am both woman and I am both black.
Mm-hmm.
I am both at the same exact time, and I have the interest of my womanhood and the interest of my blackness, and that intersects in a way that is unique and special to me in my identity, and I cannot separate the two. And so whenever someone tries to make me choose a side, I'm always leery of what their motives are. So mm-hmm. I think it's ignorant to try to impose your outlook, your view, and your modus on another person, a whole nother gender, a whole nother race in that way.
Yeah. Mike, you got any opinion on this?
No, I don't really have an opinion on it. I'm going to be ignorant and just say all I care about is the black narrative, and that's it. I'm not against anything else. I just don't care about anything else. Sorry.
Okay, cool. We actually made good time because I had another topic on there, but I don't feel like that's not really necessary to talk about. So I guess we can go into everybody. We're going to talk about what's bothering us in general. It don't got to be nothing we talked about today, just in general. It could be something going on in your own personal life. Like what's bothering you this week, like, or this week, or what has been bothering you? That's just like, you know, it could be funny, it could be serious, you know, it don't matter. Just I guess we could start with you, Sasha.
I don't know. I don't really let much bother me, so I'm gonna try and make it lighthearted since we just had such a heavy conversation. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I live out here in the land of the plastic and the fake, you know, so what's bothering me is that I am not finding any motivation to get my ass up and go see my personal trainer so I can be just as plastic and fake as these other bitches out here. But you know what? I'm going to enjoy a Krispy Kreme donut. I am going to drink an entire bottle of wine to myself tonight. And I'm going to live my best life. But it is bothering me that I am not motivated to get up and do what I need to do. I mean, out here, that really is a big thing. And I'm just not understanding why I'm not finding the motivation to go out there and be great. And I'm trying to get through that this week. It's Monday, so I can give myself an excuse.
So everybody, even the people that's not on TV, out there with fake asses and fake titties.
Everybody has had some work done, yes.
That's tight.
What you have done?
Me? Oh, nothing.
You said everybody's.
That's not inclusive of me. I'm not from out here. I don't subscribe to
So this. You the only one.
I'm the only one, honey.
Okay.
The only one.
Okay. And you know, that's funny because Lala, I think she got a show called Killer Curves now or something like that. But she was talking about
someone had like rotten rats or something. I don't know. That's disgusting. Their asses were infested.
There's a dark side to everything, boy. I tell you, goodness. I was like, God. So Richie, what's bothering you, man?
I don't really have one specific thing that's bothering me. I'm bothered in general. Like, everything just blows me. Every time I turn around, something stupid is happening. Somebody is doing something fucking ignorant or dumb or saying something ignorant or fucking dumb or inconsiderate.
Gotta be like, bothered, man. Gotta be-
I can't. I just can't. These motherfuckers just keep fucking bothering me. Like, just, I wish I could be left the fuck alone, but nah. In general, I'm in a constant state of bothered.
You know, but that's kind of innovative. A lot of people really don't admit to their botheredness. Bitches will be pretend until they are blue in the face that they are not bothered. You know what? The first step is admittance. I really admire that.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Hey, Mike.
Yo.
What's up, son? What's bothering you, son? Let me know what's bothering you.
Man, it's hard to be, so that comment was funny as shit, by the way. I was laughing like shit. I ain't bothered, right? It's hard to be bothered right now to give you a visual. I'm at the harbor, a nice ass night in front of the Ferris wheel, colorful, beautiful Ferris wheel on the water. Mm-hmm. So you might hear some wind, you might some babies crying, might hear some people talking, but you know what came up today? I actually was talking to somebody about this today. What's been bothering me lately, the last couple of days, about the last week, is I've run into situations where females think it's okay to have, and I strongly disagree, to put it out there first and foremost, I strongly disagree that it's okay to have your ex or somebody you've had relations with as your friend moving, especially moving on into a new situation. So I've actually run into that twice. In different ways. One, you know, there was somebody that I was dealing with that was, you know, I got to tell you something. My ex is my best friend. And then on the other end is I was, you know, dealing with somebody who I'm not dealing with no more who wants to still be my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to tell her I don't, you know, it's not something I really believe in for different reasons or whatever. So I actually talked to somebody about it today. I was like, it kind of bothered me because why do people think this is okay? I don't think it's okay. So that's okay. My thing for the week.
Okay. All right. So what y'all think about that, Sasha and Richie?
You ever heard that Salt and Pepper song? If I want to take a guy home with me tonight, it's none of your business. Like,
yes,
if I'm not fucking this nigga no more and I'm talking to you and I'm telling you the fuck about it and I can introduce you to this nigga and, like, I'm confident because I would never put my nigga in a situation where he's going to be embarrassed. So I'm confident you're not in an embarrassing situation.
That's
so I'm confident
enough
to bring you to my, I bring this, like, you know, introduce you. This is really just my friend. Like, you need to trust me. we got to just, we have to have some type of trust. Like, it was before you. This is where I am at now in my life. You know, like, obviously there'll be a natural progression away from the situation. So just let it happen. Like, let's not force it. Let's not try to control it. Like, mind your fucking business and trust me.
Don't ask me. I'm messy because I don't give a damn. If you ain't my husband with a ring on my damn finger, I don't owe you any explanation to shit. So.
See, I don't fuck with none of this shit.
My body ain't rocking. I'm fucking with
the face. I don't fuck with none of that shit. So.
Hey, I'm not. Don't be.
You don't have to fuck with it. You know, that's the beauty of choice.
That is the beauty of choices, right?
You know, you don't have to fuck with it because I don't fuck with that. So, like,
fuck, I look like
the same fucking wavelength with that shit.
So, what I look like? Hey, what's up? I'm in a new situation, and one of my best female friends is my ex-girlfriend.
I would never, if I'm really your friend, I'm never going to overstep my boundaries or make your girl feel uncomfortable. And if it did come down to it, I'd be like, bet, fam, listen, if she's uncomfortable with our friendship, I'ma fall back because I'm your friend.
But who wouldn't be? Who the fuck wouldn't be? who wouldn't be uncomfortable with you being best friends with your
ex? I'm just saying, like, if you know, if that's what it happened, that's what would happen. But if you're a friend, would have your best interest, and it shouldn't be no static, and it shouldn't even be no fucking issue.
Right, but still in the same breath, like, why does it matter? Like, why does anyone owe you to get rid of people in their lives that was their just because of my boyfriend? Like, again,
I say we all grow somewhere. And you're like, oh damn, I brought you here? Nigga, ain't nobody asked you, did you bring her? Like, get your motherfucking ass. Are you trying to be disrespectful?
I don't know what type of corny ass niggas you know, but I don't know what corny niggas.
I have never been in that. Mind you, I've never been in that situation. I'm just saying.
I don't know no corny niggas. Like, no. Not one dude that I've dated would ever do no stupid ass shit
I just look at potential. I just look at the potential of shit like that happening. You know what I mean?
It wouldn't. It just wouldn't.
Man, none of that shit matter. We better not even run into somebody you dealt with. That's how what it is. If any dude lets you introduce you to somebody you've been with, he's a lame ass nigga.
Yeah, I don't know. That's on you. Like, that's your ministry. You know, I'm sure your chicks get down with that. I'm not with that chick.
I would not ever get down with that.
I'm not with it. But that's on you, fam. Like, I get it.
I'll be wanting y'all cake and eat it too, boy. I tell you.
What does that even mean? Because I wouldn't pop fly on no shorty because you used to deal with her. If you telling me to trust you, I'm going to trust you until you give me a reason not to trust you. And then I'm going to dead it. Done.
I don't know, y'all. Y'all give people too much credit for this shit. Like,
listen, I don't give. You know how many times y'all fuck up? I'm still single because I give you motherfuckers an inch and y'all take a mile. Like, but I'm gonna do it every single time because I would rather just know what the real is. I want a situation where I can trust you, and if I can't have that, I don't want that shit. Fuck it.
I see. All right,
trusting to me. It's like a territorial thing to me.
I'm not a piece of fucking property, so I can't be fucking territory for you to have possession of.
Is that the whole defense? Is this the whole defense?
Been with you. You can't do that, y'all.
But Michael,
I'm not a tree to be pissed on.
Michael, if you want to have that kind of authority with a woman, you make your intentions known that that's forever, and you prove that shit to her, then you have the authority to make those kinds of decisions or give those kinds of demands. Other than that, baby, no, absolutely not. It doesn't work like that. I understand in your mind that that's okay, but that it's not. It's controlling and trying to stake claim over territory.
I think you have the right to feel how you feel. You have the right to feel how you feel. No, listen. You have the right to feel how you feel, man.
So you go,
If I'm in a relationship, I'm cutting off every girl I ever had anything to do with sexually or in a relationship because there's no place for it. What is the point? What is the point of having that relationship around?
I think there'll be a natural progression of you moving away from it. I don't think you need to force it. I don't think you need to verbalize it. I don't think it needs to be a thing. I don't think you need to stick your chest out and you know, stick your leg out. Like, you don't have to do any of that shit.
Okay, because what if that doesn't work out? Then what?
See, my thing, you know what, y'all? It's my thing. I have a female best friend that I've never done anything with, right? But she my female best friend. And I've been cussed out by her 3 different times because she said when I get in a relationship, I act different. I don't act different. I don't feel like I act different towards her though. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like out of respect for the relationship, out of respect for the relationship, I ain't about to be doing all that big. You know what I mean? It's just I don't know. I ain't about to have brain no.
I don't know about that, son, because you never done nothing with her. Y'all never had that. You know what I'm saying? Why can't you keep that going?
I mean, I do though. I just not gonna talk to you every day. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think you need to be talking. I don't think you need to be talking to her every day, but I don't see what's the point, like, of ending communication. Well, like,
no, I don't end communication. The thing is, I don't talk to you every day now because somebody else is.
Why are you ever talking to her every day?
Right.
You just do.
Do you call your mother every day?
No.
Well, then, I don't know why you calling this little girl every day and you don't call your mom every day.
Oh my God. I'm just saying. I'm just
your little friend more important than your mother?
No. She just don't get on my nerves. That's all. that's all.
I hope your mother listens to this. You're terrible.
My mother knows she comes. She number one anyway until I find a wife. She already know that. But it's just, you know, hey.
Until I find a wife. Well, thanks, son.
I mean, that's how it's supposed to be, right?
Appreciate that. I'm number one until I'm number two out this bitch. Thanks.
Hey, go
then a good to come along of number three. Fuck you.
Hey, go ahead. You were crazy. But no, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. That whole little shit. I've been in bad situations with bad people like that. I got a bad experience of that whole little shit, probably. That's probably why I got my opinion the way I have it. I just had a bad experience with that whole close relationship with your friend. Bumfuckers was just trash. I don't even want to elaborate on it. But all right, well, look, let me say that was bothering me, right? These little companies, when you rent like cars or you just rent anything from these companies, I feel like I found a little, they trying to play with people, right? So I rent a car from Enterprise on a Saturday. I have all full intentions on returning the car Sunday to the same branch. I get to the branch, the gate closed, I can't even come in there. So I call Enterprise headquarters, whatever the hell I call, I don't know. Say, hey, I'm trying to return a vehicle. I only wanted a one-day rental. I can't take it to the branch. They say, oh, they're not open on Sundays. I said, well, is there no Dropbox? No, they don't have a Dropbox because they're just not open on Sundays. I said, okay, so if I take it to the next branch over, is there going to be a charge fee? They said, yeah, it's a $35 fee. So how the fuck you going to charge me for you inconveniencing me? I don't understand. And then, and then my man, we just had, you know, for the baby shower we had Saturday, he rented some chairs from this place called AA, I believe, in Landover. I forgot the real name. He rented some chairs. You know, he got the chairs Saturday, planned on bringing them back Sunday. They're closed Sunday. And they said, if you can't bring the chairs back within the next business day before the 11 a.m., you're charged double. So I'm like, hold up. Why would I rent chairs? People have events on the weekend, on Saturday. If I want it for one day, I'm trying to bring the shit back the next day. So because you're closed, I got to pay the extra fee because you're closed?
Yes. Don't rent on Saturday, you bitch.
It's like, yeah.
Son, that, did you see when you rented the car that they were closed on Sundays?
I mean, look, every branch not closed on Sundays, though.
But
so,
did you specifically see?
Yeah, like he ain't have a choice in the matter. Like, you could have checked this. All you had to do was Google before you left.
Right. It shows you you're in the car.
That's your fault. Why are you mad?
That's it. I'm just. Fuck them. Whatever. Here they going. Have certain branches open. Like, give me the option to take it. Give me the option to take it back. Like, come on, man. Can I take it back Sunday without you
talking
to me?
They should have had a Dropbox, though. I don't know why they didn't have a Dropbox. Are you sure they didn't have a Dropbox?
They did not have a Dropbox. I asked all those questions too late, obviously.
You did have a choice. You could just went up the road when you first got
it. I'm like, damn, I could have went to the other jump. But I didn't. I don't know, man. This shit was crazy. But yeah, that's what was bothering me. But thank y'all for all joining me on this episode of my bonus episode of Young Black and Bothered. Again, if y'all would like to introduce yourselves again or let them know, Sasha, Richie, Mike, thank y'all all for joining me.
You're welcome.
And that is a wrap. No problem. That's a wrap.